News. My name's Dan Chadwick. I'm the pastor here at Mosaic South, and I am thrilled to welcome you if you're here for a Daisy. If you're one of her friends or family of friends, one of her neighbours, it is really great to have you to be part of what we're doing here, which is a really special moment for a Daisy in her baptism. I'm also excited. I'm also really happy that I'm sharing about good news with you. And to start with, I know everyone, maybe most, love games. We're going to play a game together. And what we're going to do in playing this game is I've got three teams. You're one team. We'll call you Team A. You're Team B. And you are Team C. And I want to see how well you know the bringers of good news or bad news in mainly Disney films. So, you are Team A, and you're going first. So I'd like someone nominate yourself. Who is A, and do they bring good news or bad news? I need a hand. Yeah, okay. Chi-Chi, A, top left. Who is it? What's her name?
Moana
is her name, and is it good news or bad news? Good news. 1 point, Team A. Team B, nominate yourself. Team A. Team B, I need to nominate yourself, Rachel. Yeah, so B is Jafar from Aladdin. And do they bring good news or bad news? Correct. Another point. Team B are on the board. Team C, Nathaniel, I can see you getting ready. But Brian, was that hand I saw? C? Who is C? Cruella de Vil, yes. Did she bring good news or bad news? She's bad news, yeah. She steals Dalmatians. So it's one apiece. Second question. Anyone want to nominate for answer number D? Go on, Karis. Correct. I think that was the hardest one there. Well done, Karis. And does Quasimodo bring good news or bad news? Yeah, he's a good character. He brings good news in the story. So they go into the lead. Team B, you're on E. Who is E? It's a lion. Jane? Scar. Is he a bringer of good news or bad news? That's right. He is the bad uncle in Lion King. Naomi, on to F. It's Mary Poppins. Yes. And does she bring good news or bad news? Mostly good news, yeah. Spoonful of sugar. I'm not sure that's such good news amongst dentists these days. Okay, so two points. We have a tiebreaker situation. To be honest, I just wanted to have some fun. I'm not quite sure. I haven't got any prizes, and I'm not sure how we're going to win this. I think it may end up being a competitive draw. But let's, for the sake of completion, who is G? Anyone? It is Mulan, and is she a bringer of good news or bad news? Good news, yeah, or bad news to the people who she's defending against. And H, Joel? It is Tarzan. And do you know what? Tarzan, I think, is one of my favourite Disney films, and he brings good news. Well, have you ever had a phone call in the middle of the night? Your phone's ringing, and you're thinking, this can't be good news, right? That's what happens when your phone goes off in the middle of the night. And a few months ago, I could hear my phone ringing in the middle of the night. Why would anyone be calling me? And so as I go downstairs to answer my phone, or at least find out who's ringing me, I'm thinking, is this Jonah telling me he can't preach on Sunday? And then I thought, no, it's going to be worse than that. Maybe it's my sister telling me there's a problem at home. Or even worse, it's my mum phoning me to tell me my dad has died. They were some of my thoughts as I went down the stairs. And I got into the kitchen. I was thinking, why is my phone so loud? And why has someone changed my alarm clock, my phone ringtone, to some Armin van Helden music, like dance track? And no one was calling me. But someone had managed to hack into my Alexa. And it was blurting out music at 3:30 in the morning. So bad news averted. But you can feel you can imagine that, can't you? The phone ringing at night, it must be bad news. And we are in a world where you look at the newspapers and there's very little good news. You don't have to go far to find bad news. I worry about the climate crisis. It's always bad news. I worry about the cost of living, particularly for people on low incomes. I think we just keep getting bad news about rising costs. But though we must resist despair when we see those stories. We must resist hopelessness and even apathy in as responses to such news. And instead, I want to spend some time this morning looking at good news. And we're going to spend, 10, 15 minutes exploring the good news God who brings good news into our world. Because we have a good news God. Hallelujah. Yes. Whose message brings great joy. And we're going to look at three quick questions. What is this good news? Secondly, why is it good news? And thirdly, what do we do with this good news today? So part one, what is this good news? Famously, Julie Andrews, in a different film to the one we've seen on, sings, "Let's start at the very beginning." It's a very good place to start. Which film did she sing that in? Sound of Music. Hey, you're good today. You're winning at film. But we're going to rewind the story to the start where God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He creates the heavens and the earth. He creates humans and animals. And He creates this Garden of Eden of perfection. Adam, the first man, Eve, the first woman, are in perfect relationship with God. It says they walked in the garden in the cool of the day and they walked with God. There was friendship, closeness, relationship. It was great. Everything's perfect. And the book of Genesis gives us this creation account. Then, bad news enters. The enemy, he comes, deceiving Adam and Eve, and they sin. And as the impact of sin into the world brings brokenness and rebellion, rejection of God, they are then apart from God. The perfection, the great relationship, there's disconnect, there's a chasm between them. And as we read the Bible, the story of God and people, humans live, create society, and there's always this ongoing narrative of rejecting God and rebelling against Him. Bad news inevitably follows rejection and rebellion. Yet there's evidence of God being present with His people, evidence of a promise of a hope to come, evidence of His presence being on His people and Him leading them. This evidence points somewhere in the future to a day where someone will come and bring good news. And so we start at the beginning, we come to the first century in the Middle East. There's a group of low-income workers who are shepherds gathered around a campfire once the sun had gone down, no doubt debating the strengths of their favourite sports team or how poor the new governor of the land is and how he's much worse than the last. And then the night sky lights up. They cannot believe what they're seeing. And they are afraid. It's like pitch black at night and someone turns on all the lights at Ellen Road. That's the kind of magnitude. Something has happened. And they didn't have electricity, so they wouldn't understand that metaphor, but you do. One of them speaks, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." These are the words of the writer Luke. He investigated the eyewitness accounts of the first disciples, first followers of Jesus. And these are his words in Luke's gospel. So this good news, what is it? Well, it's good news that a Saviour King has come to earth. The good news they find is somewhere in Bethlehem. Mary has given birth to Jesus. And for us to recognise this good news, we've got to see the bad news. And we've talked about the papers, we've talked about the news cycles. And throughout history, if you look, there is so much bad news. That in the kind of God's creation of us, his rejection and rebellion, we means we can't be with him. That's the case for Adam and Eve. That's still the case today. God is too pure. He is too holy. We are too dirty, too sinful. We are destined for death and destruction and eternal separation from God. It's really the worst thing. It's the worst thing imaginable. One of the words that the Bible uses is the word hell. Yet, amidst this rejection, amidst this rebellion, amidst this trajectory towards death and destruction, comes good news. Because a Savior is born, whose name is Jesus. And this Jesus is hope to the hopeless. He brings freedom to those who are ill-treated. He heals the sick. He honors those who are shamed. He satisfies the hungry. Changes the hearts of people who are struggling with money. He restores those who are broken-hearted. He brings peace to the fearful. He brings purpose to people on earth who are on the fringe of society often. And he comforts those who mourn. We read those accounts of Jesus in the Gospels. We see that's what Jesus does in first century Middle East. And we believe as a church, Jesus still does those things today. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what the kind of God he is. He hasn't changed. And whilst he's risen and ascended to heaven, he has sent his Spirit to empower and anoint us. To empower and anoint us to see the things he did on earth. He's the same Jesus. He's still got the same heart towards people. And he comes to bring salvation. To take all the sin of the world on his shoulders. So that sin doesn't have to end in death. In fact, good news for us that his death brings us life. And the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the four Gospels. There are four accounts of his life. And after Christmas, we're going to spend 10 weeks looking at the book of Luke, seeing 10 different encounters people have with Jesus. Encounters where they are radically changed. And you're invited, if you're new, you're invited. Come and hear week after week of stories of encountering Jesus, seeing them changed. And we believe God wants to bring that change to Beeston and Holbeck and Middleton and Morley and Cottingley, Tingley, across South Leeds and to the nations of the world. There is no one like Jesus. We sang that in both songs this morning. There is no one like Jesus. And he is the King of Kings. And he is a king of a kingdom that is full of people that aren't special, but God makes them special. That's a daisy story this morning. There is nothing special about a daisy in just who she is, but she's met Jesus and she is now special beyond imagination. That's how the Bible talks about us. It's change that comes. I heard a story yesterday. I was in Newcastle. We're part of a family of churches, and every so often some of those churches staff teams and leaders meet together. And I heard a story of a man who was a cousin of the lady sharing the story. She'd been praying for this cousin for 31 years. And he was an alcoholic. His life, what followed him was brokenness. He had split up from his wife. His three children, now grown up, were estranged and did not want to speak to him. And his life was a mess. He'd been in and out of rehab, in and out of prison. And this lady who was sharing the story, Carol, was sharing that she'd been praying for him for 31 years. And one morning, he phoned her and said, "Cuz, you'll never guess. I had a dream about this guy in white with a beard." And she explained what happened in the dream, that Jesus, before him, had wrung out a rag, a dirty, filthy rag, wrung it out, and he said it was just filthy. But by the end, it was clean. She says, "I think you know something about this dream. Tell me about him." Anyway, she explained it was Jesus. And a couple of weeks later, they had another phone call. And he says, "Listen, the big guy in the sky," that's his words, "the big guy in the sky has brought me serenity." And what Carol understood by that was Jesus has brought peace to this man's life. He was invited to church by a random stranger on a bus who said, "Hey, would you like to come to church with me?" He said, "Yeah, I would." And this person of Jesus was explained to him. And what I've explained to you this morning about the good news Jesus brings. But the other amazing part of the story is, from the moment he had that dream, he didn't want to drink and hasn't. And you think, wow, Jesus has changed his eternity. Eternity, his direction of the rest of his life is set differently. But Jesus has changed his now. His now. His life has been transformed. And I love it that Jesus does that. And I want to know, this is a story from my friend Carol who lives in Bedford. I want to hear stories of that in Leeds, don't you? I want to hear stories like that. And so we're coming to the Good News God asking for stories of transformation. We're going to hear Daisy's story this morning of transformation, that God has met her and changed her. And she's now saying, "Before you, I follow Jesus." And it is a great story that you can share this morning, Daisy. I'm so glad. So it's good news. That's the good news. Why is it good news? Well, I've explained much about it, but we're going to watch a short video now. Because in 2019, on the main stage in Glastonbury, I watched a grime artist called Stormzy. I don't think I'd known much about him before then. And he bounced around on stage, flexing his muscles, hyping up the crowd. That's not what I want to draw your attention to. I want to draw your attention. That's not the video we're watching. Phew! I want to draw your attention to the lyrics in the song. He sings, and I'll read them, and then we'll watch the video. "Lord, I've been broken. Although I'm not worthy, you fixed me. Now I'm blinded by your grace. You came and save me." Let's hear him sing it to the crowd in London.
"I'm blinded by your grace. I'm blinded by your grace. By your grace. I'm blinded by your grace. I'm blinded by your grace. Lord, I've been broken. Although I'm not worthy, you fix me. I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me. Lord, I've been broken. Although I'm not worthy, you fix me. Now I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me."
A little bit of it. But I don't want to focus on storms, I want to focus on Jesus. And he does that in the song. He focuses on Jesus and what Jesus has done for me. As a follower of Jesus, Stormzy is a bringer of the good news of God. The good news of God. He sings about the bad news of being broken, knowing I'm not worthy. Yeah, his song is full of good news. His song is full of grace. Receiving grace, being saved by God. And that is good news for you today. In the first century Israel, God, the good news God brings good news in a world covered by bad news. He comes and brings joy. Good news of great joy that will be for all people, whoever you are. I share the story of the alcoholic on the fringe of society. But it's good news for the people at the very centre. It's the people who have lived decent lives. But ultimately, the wages of sin are death, and no one person can earn God's merit or favour. We all come to God through Jesus. So what do we do about this? Well, this is what Jesus' life looked like. Luke 8, verse 1. Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus is there going from one person to another. I'll tell you about the good news. I'll tell you here. And then he goes to another town. I'll tell you about the good news. He goes to another town. I'll tell you about the good news. He's a bringer of good news. It's a good news to share. Picture, would you, a newspaper delivery boy or girl cycling around on their bike, giving out good news wherever they go. How do we do this just like Jesus? With words, with actions, with hearts full of love. Say that with me. With words, with actions, with hearts full of love. Let me finish by telling you a story before, well, I say finish. I'm going to finish my preach with a story. And then I'm going to share what baptism is all about. We're then going to worship and celebrate what God has done. And then Daisy's going to share her testimony of meeting Jesus. So Gladys, she lived in England in the 1900s. She went to Sunday school as a child, but in her adult life, she just lived for herself. She thought that Jesus was for little children and grannies. However, one night in London, she heard somebody speak of Jesus' love and power to forgive sins, to wash away the dirt that she knew was on her life and offer her a clean slate. She gave her life to Jesus that night. Later that month, she applied to be a missionary in China. A missionary is someone who takes the good news wherever they go. And she said, I'm going to be a missionary in China. Well, it wasn't very easy to get to China in those days. Traveling from London through Europe, Russia, Siberia, she ended up in China via train. It took almost a month and cost her £47.50 of her hard-earned money. Every time she had a pound, she went to put a bit more money on the ticket. It was here she learned Chinese. She shared the gospel with travelers. She looked after orphans and refugees that were displaced due to a war going on at the time between Japan and China. She's probably most famous for a 12-day walk where she took 100 orphans through the mountains to flee from a war. Gladys Aylward was a carrier of the good news. She's an amazing example of sharing Jesus and giving generously. And today we celebrate with Daisy her baptism. But Daisy, you are a carrier of the good news. How you act, how you speak, is full of love, full of grace, full of kindness and compassion. I notice that. I know your parents notice that. The young people in our youth notice that. And someone mentioned this morning, you're like a shining light, shining the love of Jesus where you go, in your actions and in your words. You speak of justice and bring challenge with grace and truth. And as we prayed this morning, I had an image of in my mind that I thought, this is how I see a Daisy. This is what God's going to do. It was like you were being rooted like a tree. And a tree, lots of trees in Scripture, and they speak of bringing strength to the communities they're in. And it's not because you've made yourself have great roots. It's because of something God is doing in you. And he's going to make you strong for the people around you. And so as we kind of celebrate with Daisy, it's a significant moment for her. But it may be a significant moment for you today. That the good news I've spoken about, what I've described, you can have it. Or maybe you've heard me speak about carrying the good news and you want to be someone who carries it into your situations, in your actions, with your words, and full of love in your heart. And you can know God, both groups of people. If you don't know God, if you want more of God to help carry his good news, that the Holy Spirit comes today and is our comforter. He makes known Jesus to us. He helps turn our hearts and convicts us away from living for ourselves in rebellion and rejection of God and turns us. We say yes to him. We turn, and that's called repentance. And then we walk a life of following Jesus so that we can carry good news into the world. Amen? So let me tell you what's actually happening deeply today. I'll tell you what's practically happening in a moment, but deeply what's happening. You might have been to a baptism service before. And, it is a celebration. But the Bible is full of rich language where it speaks of a Daisy being baptized like her being buried with Jesus into his death and raised to new life. Jesus dies on the cross so our sin could be forgiven. Our relationship with God might be restored. And as a Daisy is baptized, she is buried with Jesus into death. Their old self, their old way of life, their old sin, broken relationship is buried. Imagine it going into the ground. And it's died. It's over. It's done. And they are raised to life. Newness of life with Jesus, made possible because of what Jesus has done alone. All that once condemned her has been washed away. And you this morning can declare, I am honored and accepted by God. And it happened the moment she said yes to following Jesus. It's not going to happen in the water, but that's what's going on. She moves from death to life. Then there's also this picture in Scripture of unity with Jesus and his church. This new life for Daisy is defined as being united with Jesus. It's a life of close, intimate relationship. Daisy now is clothed with Jesus. So what's true of Jesus is true of Daisy. They've become a child of God, a beloved child, and an heir who will inherit the new heavens and the new earth as a member of the body of Jesus and a recipient, as I've spoken about, of God's Holy Spirit. Which means a life that God has called her to is now possible because of the Spirit's work in her, equipping you, leading you to live in holiness and in purity and enjoying the freedom and security God has won for you. So it's about death to life. It's about unity with Jesus and his church. And it's about a proclamation of faith. That's what happens in Scripture. Baptism, it's a moment of faith and action. And so Daisy this morning is declaring her faith in Jesus. She's declaring that she has repented of her old way of life, living for herself, and has turned around, is now pursuing God. This life has died, and there is a new life from God that is in front of us. But today, baptism marks a new birth, a new life, a washing, a cleansing, and a death and resurrection. And it looks forward to the day when Jesus will return. And when Jesus returns, like we sung about in that first song, we will gather around the throne of God sing praise, glory, wisdom and thanks forever and ever and ever. And we will have our home permanently with God. Though practically, we're going to worship shortly. Can I invite the band back? We're going to worship and celebrate all that Jesus has done. You might say from your point of view, yes, I know he's done that in my life. I've accepted Jesus. I'm joining in with this. And if you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus today, I'd invite you to join in with us. Join in with this praise. Hopefully what I've explained helps move your heart towards God. And we worship. Then India will invite Daisy and interview her, ask some questions. And we'll go down into what is kind of through the school dinner room. We'll lower her down into the waters. Jonah Anuga will do that. And then we'll lift her up. And when she comes out of the water, we'll go wild. We will celebrate and we clap and we will cheer. Jonah Anuga will pray for her. And then we'll make our way back, not the way we've come, but we'll make our way back into this room here to have tea and coffee. And Daisy's brought a massive cake with her. And guess what? The water's warm. Steve, that's right. Still warm. Still warm. So let me pray. Matt and the band are then going to lead us. We say thank you, Jesus, for good news. Good news from a good news God. To a world where we see loads of bad news and we say, please, Lord Jesus, come and break in into our world. Come and bring good news through us, your people, that will be received as good news in the world. And we lift our eyes to you as we worship. We lift our eyes from our struggle and our doubts that remain with us often. But we lift our eyes to you in this moment and say, Jesus, you are worthy. Amen.
Amen.